All right, this morning we'll continue through our series, The Promise Still Stands, and it's around the theme of Joshua. And so if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to find Joshua chapter 10, and we'll make reference to that passage often this morning. And as we think of Joshua, we first get to know him in the book of Exodus. You know, he's there with Moses, and he goes through the wilderness time, 40 years with Moses and the Israelites, and he stayed faithful to God. And then when Moses, God moved him along, Joshua jumped in there. And one thing about this series that I'd just like to focus on just for a minute is one of his buddies, and his name was Caleb. Remember Caleb? And he was the one spy. He and Joshua were the two spies that said, hey, we can take these guys, but the other 10 spies were afraid, and the disobedience that was part of that led to 40 years of wandering. And you know, it's kind of cool. Our oldest, Josh, who lives in Hawaii, he's a Joshua. And then God gave him a son 14 years ago, and his name's Caleb. So it's kind of cool to have a Joshua and Caleb. And anyway, but there's a verse that just helps me think of these two guys. It's just a great thought for us as we move into this morning. And it's in Numbers 14, verse 24. And it's just tucked right in there. It says, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. And you know, I think of Caleb. He had that different spirit. And you know, I thought, what's that really mean? You know, there's just something very special about his walk with the Lord. He was in the minority. He was a guy who just stood up for truth and was faithful in battle and was faithful to God. And both these guys were guys of a different spirit. And I think that's a good reminder for us all to have something different about us. If you name yourself a follower of Christ, you know, you should be different. You should walk different. You should live differently. And Caleb had that. So just a little side note as we move into this morning. Now, our introduction to all of this is right here. God is faithful to his promises. And Joshua's bold faith to overcome the spiritual enemies that Israel faced was a challenging feat. But with God, all things are possible. And you know, we'll see that faith lived out this morning with Joshua and the way he led in this battle that we look at this morning. So again, Joshua chapter 10. And as we introduce this and as we think of this, there's 4 points to this message. And the first one is this: bold faith will be attacked. If you live a life of faith, you know, your faith will be attacked, and it's just going to happen. And notice in this story, first of all, as we look at this faith being attacked, these 5 verses. Now, King Adonai Zedek. Now, as I say these names, I'm just going to say them fast. That way, you don't know I'm pronouncing them wrong. So, if you're one of those people who are funny about English and stuff, this pronunciation's not for you. But just stay with me, okay? But King Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai, which we talked about last week, and totally destroyed it, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and had become their allies. He and his people were very much alarmed at this, because Gibeon was an important city, like one of the royal cities, and it was larger than Ai. And all its men were good fighters. So Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, appealed to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Japha, king of Lachish, and Debir, king of Eglon. Come up and help me attack Gibeon, he said, because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. And then verse 5, it says, then the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon, joined forces. They moved up with all their troops and took up positions against Gibeon and attacked. So as we read this and as we think of these first five verses, you see, well, the king heard how, you know, the Gibeonites joined forces with Joshua and his people, and now he gathers some people together to say, hey, we need your help. We need to battle up against these. So again, as we think of this idea of our faith being attacked, it goes along with this thought here that bold faith, when you have bold faith, it is noticeable. It's noticeable. And right away in verse 1, the king heard what was going on. Word had spread, you know, Joshua and his people were doing great things for the Lord, and he destroyed Ai, the walls came down in Jericho. You know, there's just a lot of talk going on, and there's of course a notice of that. And I think that's important for us to notice too. When there's something going on for the Lord, people notice. And I like to think of it this way at our church. You know, there's a lot of good things going on, and people take notice, and people have an interest in that. And again, this city, Gibeon, they were good fighters, the Bible says. And the king's alarmed at, hey, you know, he's joined forces. Why would he do that? And if you look at verse 9, the Gibeonites had just escaped war because they made peace with Joshua. And of course, the chapter deals with their deception. They said they were from a far country, and they weren't, and they tricked Joshua, basically. But what's cool about Joshua, when you think about that, he kept his word. And I think there's a thought to this. It's important that we as followers of Christ, if you're a follower of Christ here this morning, you know, you should keep your word. You should do what you say. It's a very important thing to carry out the promises we make to people. You know, I know I was guilty of this at times, that when I was a parent, when my kids were younger, I would throw an idea out there, and then once the idea was out there, it was like, I really don't want to do this. And my wife would say, you know, there's a proverb, you know, she always has a verse for you. And she goes, there's a proverb that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And you know, it's a neat principle, you know, don't you be a person who throws hope out there and then it's not carried through. And I say all this because it's important to keep our word. When we say we're going to do something, we should do it. And God wants us to be follower throughs of what we say. So again, the Gibeonites, they were once on the side of the Amorites, and they switched to become forces with Israel. Again, the result was King Adonai Zedek, he said, hey, you know, we need to rally up and go against them. So bold face, noticeable. And something else in this, Satan doesn't just sit by when the forces for good increase. You know, Satan's not going to say, hey, it's all good, just let those Christians just do what they're supposed to, they want to do. You know, it's not like that. And any time the follower of Christ gets an inroad, Satan's real good at trying to get in there and take it back. And the king says, help me attack Gibeon. It's made peace with the Israelites. And Satan's very good at breaking alliances. He doesn't want us to get along. He doesn't like it when there's unity, because, you know, when there's unity, there's power. And I'm thankful, you know, we're not a perfect church by any means. But one thing that's special, I think, about this church that I observe is that there's a harmony. You know, there's an older crowd that gets along with the younger crowd. There's a younger crowd that puts up with us older crowd. And I'm thankful for that. I probably won't say that in the next gathering. But, you know, that unity is so important. You know, I'm thankful, you know, I get to work with several pastors. And I love these guys. I mean, they're just a neat group of guys that just love Jesus and want to get, but not everybody has that. You know, I know other pastors who said, boy, I just can't get along with my pastor. You know, and it's good to have a unity. So you pray for that unity, and it's the unity in marriage. You know, stay married. It's important, and we need that unity within our families. And I'm reminded, though, you know, we're not fighting against people. We're fighting against the evil forces, those principalities, those powers that Ephesians talks about. And it's very important that even when people sometimes will disappoint you, you know what, that's just the devil working in them, you know. Pray that the devil won't get a foothold in them or us as we do life together. So this king, King Adonizedek, who was king of Jerusalem, he probably was the most powerful king of all these powers around at this time. And again, the bad thing, though, is he used it for evil. Now, in my research, it was kind of cool. You know, his name actually means Lord of Righteousness. And yet, that's so opposite of what he was. There's nothing righteous about him. And it makes me think, what names God gives us? You know, we're called children of light. You know, we're sons of God. We're followers who are holy and dearly loved. We're a royal people. He says in Colossians that we're a chosen people. Is that cool to think about? I mean, he says a lot of things. So since we bear that name, follower, live out that name. Walk with him. It's so refreshing as a pastor when I'm in this community at times and they'll bring up such a person in our church and they'll say, that is really special people. You know, they're hard workers. They walk with the king. And you know, it's neat to see a testimony, someone representing Christ well, and God wants us to do that. So if you name yourself a follower, live out Jesus. Have a different spirit. So, these five kings, these five nations, they gather and they take position against Gibeon and they attack. And this leads us to another thought under this point. When we face difficult situations, we only see what the natural eye sees. And it's sometimes hard to not see God in a crisis, in a tough time. But I love the reminder, if you jump down to the end of the chapter in verse 42, it's God that's fighting for us. It's God that's going to get us through. And we must remember that. All these kings and their lands Joshua conquered in one campaign because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Isn't that kind of cool to think about? I mean, up to this time, it was one battle at a time. But now it's basically like five other nations joining forces, and it's like, and yet the end of the chapter says, hey, you get it all out of the way in one shot, and you conquered them. And I love that thought when we think of how amazing God's will is for our lives. So bold faith, at times, it is attacked, but God wants us to have that bold faith, that different spirit. And then secondly, bold faith acts upon God's promises. Bold faith acts upon God's promises. Now, verses 6 through 8. Stay with me. There's some tough names again. So the Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal. Now, Gilgal is kind of a cool place. I was researching this, and it was their place of refuge. It was their sanctuary. It was their place where they had intimacy with the Father. So we should have a Gilgal in our life. And it says, don't abandon your servants. Come to us quickly. Save us. Help us. Because all the Amorite kings from the hill country, they've joined forces against us. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. And the Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid of them. I've given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. And after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. Now, Joshua was the right one for them to reach out to. Again, the Gibeonites had joined forces with them. They, of course, deceived them, but the result is they became part of his group. And what's special about this group of Gibeonites is that they took the right perspective once they became part of Joshua's group. In fact, they referred to themselves as servants in verse 6. They were humble and helpless. They were humble and helpless, and they took a position of that as they served with Joshua. And they call out to Joshua, "Help!" And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, yeah, I'm thankful for people I can, hey, I need your prayers. I need your help. I need your help with this. I need your help with that. And it's good to have people who you can tap into who are going to help you through. And of course, that's why connection groups are so important. That's why we all need a place where we can just let our hair down and become transparent with people and have them relationship with people. And we offer those on Sunday mornings. We offer them on Wednesday nights. And we need to get ourselves into a connection group if we're not in a connection group. And I love that passage we make reference to often in Ecclesiastes, where it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and no one's there to help them up. And again, we need those people in our lives to encourage us along. I mean, Adam needed Eve. You know, Caleb needed Joshua. Moses needed Joshua. And Ephraim, Batman needed Robin. Right? You know, there's all those parts. I'd be lost without a spouse named Heidi. And you need people to get you through. You know, there's no room for Rambos. We won't talk about Rambo in the next service because they won't know who he is. But you know, you can't do it alone. You got to have people with you to get you through. You need each other. And even more than that, guys, we need Jesus. We need to cry out to him. There's no one better to help us. And what's cool is he's never going to check out on us. He's always going to be there through thick and thin. Cry out to him. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. So the humble and helplessness of the Gibeonites, and then also they went to the right person. I see here too, and we kind of touched on this already a little bit, but they went to the right person. Remember last week in the sermon that Jonathan shared, they had gone to the Lord for that battle, and up to that point, but then it was maybe here, Joshua got a little sideways, and he doesn't seek out the Lord maybe like he should have. And the result was it didn't turn out so good, but it's important that we always remember to go to the right person, and that's the Lord himself. And people can help us, but the Lord's the best. Call to me, and I'll answer thee, and do great and unsearchable things to you that you do not know. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Go to the right person. And again, that's where trustworthy friends help. And people who you know are going to pray with you and shoot you straight and help you through the process. They called out to Jesus. Or to Joshua, and it helped them. And Joshua was there to listen. And when you think of this idea of God's promises, I love it that the promises of God were there for Joshua. And he had the Word of God in him, and he sought the Lord of God. In fact, the Lord says to Joshua here, don't be afraid of them. I've given them into your hand. You know, God said, you got this. They're already there for you. Go get them. And it's neat to think, and we have that too. I think one of the first verses God ever gave me when I got saved was, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. And I think of that verse like God just, okay, I saved you. I'm going to get you through. I'm going to get you through college. And that was a get through, by the way. I was in the third reading group growing up, and it was second grade was tough. I've told you about second grade being the greatest years of my life. But, you know, when you think of that, you know, God started something good with us, and he's going to get us through. And I love to think of that. And he's given you this land, you know, take it. You know, the confidence he had in God's word, in God's truth, to not be afraid, to be assured that God's word is going to act on our behalf. And we need that faith as we get through that, which leads us to the next point. Joshua's faith moved him to action. And when our faith is practical and when our faith is lived out, we will act upon that faith. In fact, when Joshua heard about this, okay, rally the troops. And they battled up, and the Bible says that they marched all night. Think about that. The Lord knew Joshua would be afraid, but Joshua still took action. You know, that idea of faith over fear. And I love when you think of that through the scriptures, how, you know, okay, Moses, put your foot in the water, you know, and it happens. Don't be afraid of them. They're in your hands. And I think it's natural sometimes to have a fear, but to overcome our fear, we jump in there anyway. You know, I'll be honest with you, it's a very fearful thing to stand and share God's word with you. I'll be honest, I sweat. And you know, but you know what? God gets us through. And you know what I've learned? Well, I'll just read them lots of scripture. Because, you know, if they get mad at the scripture, you know, they got issues. So just give them the word. So let me just give you some word here. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. Look at this. It says, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, you stand firm. Don't let anything move you. Always give yourselves fully to the Lord because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I love that. Hey, be steadfast. Stay in the game. Don't let anything move you. Don't fear, Isaiah says. I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then one more. I sought the Lord. He answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And, you know, in Christ, we have victory. We can overcome our fears. We can have faith over our fears. And I tell you, God's on our side, even if we struggle at times with fear. All right, two more quick points. Bold faith is rooted in God's power. Bold faith is rooted in God's power. Now get this. Here's two of the most awesome miracles you'll ever see. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, so Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road, going up to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the sword of the Spirit. Now, look at that. The Lord throws them into panic. The Lord struck them with a great blow. And then as they're fleeing, he throws hailstones at them. Man, I'm glad I'm on the Lord's side, yes? You know, in fact, someone told me once, the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. Joshua was in the center of God's will. And God moved in his life. And, you know, try to picture these hailstones. You know, God's chunking them from heaven. And you know what? They only hit the enemy. You know, I mean, there's Israelites, but they only hit the enemy. You know, I've seen hail. You know, they can do great damage to cars and roof damage and different things. But, you know, these hailstones had to be some big buggers. I mean, to go ahead. You know, when growing up in Northeast Ohio, there were times where we had some great snowstorms, and the snow would pack just right when it snowed right around the freezing degree mark. And we'd pack up those babies, and we'd go out and have snowball fights that were just unbelievable. And in fact, sometimes we were naughty, and we would throw these snowballs at trucks when they drive by. And we lived on a busy street, and you know, it was great to hit these big box trucks with these snowballs. But you know, we didn't ever kill anybody with a snowball. I mean, these ice balls, this hail was like, you know, you know what else we used to do? This was bad, but so if there are people in the neighborhood we didn't like, back then everybody got a Christmas tree that was pretty much cut, and then after a few days after Christmas, you put it at the curb. Well, what we would do, this is me and my brothers, we would gather up these Christmas trees, and we'd put them in someone's yard that we didn't like. And they wake up the next day, and they'd have like 20 trees in their yard, and they had to get them rid. So then we'd go by and throw a match on them. We didn't do that, you know. So from snowballs to Christmas trees. Anyway, I shouldn't have said that. But the thing is, the battle, the thing God used, these hailstones, it's so important. Do we believe that the fact that God can use anything he wishes to stop the enemy? And again, when God's for us, who can be against us? Bold faith. It's rooted in God's power. And then the last point, bold faith believes God for the impossible. Bold faith believes God for the impossible. Now, verses 12 through 14. Now look at this. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it's written in the book of Joshua. And the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There was never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel." Now, if you come to these verses and say, wow, God did that. I mean, the hailstones, and now at the prayer, sun, stand still. And God listens to him. You know, Joshua realized the power he had when he yielded to the power of God in his life. And I think that's a great lesson for others. For all of us, do we realize what great power we have, what great opportunity to pray sun stand still prayers? You know, he cries out to the Lord here, and again, it's bold because all the people heard him. He's not afraid to ask God in this season. A bold prayer. Lord, in your presence of Israel, sun stand still. Now, even after the hailstones, as you try to picture this battle, you know, there was some getting away, so Joshua, hey, we need more time. We need another day to complete the battle. You remember they had marched all night, and the battle probably started early, and the darkness is coming, and I have to pray. And he calls on God. And you know, I think of this, and it makes me think of that line that's in the notes there. Joshua was in contact with God, listening, believing, allowing God to lead him. And it's so vital for all of us to pray bold prayers. You know, to ask God to do a great work through us. And his request, a longer day. And in fact, history says that there was a longer day. You know, and I don't understand the power of God. I just know he's powerful. I know the Bible says this, and I'm going to trust that it happened. And the power of God is seen here. Hey, go out tonight if it's not too cloudy and see the stars. He keeps that in place. Last night we got to see a cool little sunset at our place, and it was like, God does that. God has power to do that. Nothing is impossible for him. So, you want to lengthen your day? Speak to the sun. S-O-N. Think about this. The size of our prayers, do they honor God? You know, big and small. God put in Joshua's heart to pray a bold prayer. And again, what's he putting in our hearts as we pray? There's never been a day, verse 14 says, like it before or since. He knew his God. He'd become acquainted with God personally. He'd learned much through the journey through Egypt. And yet, here he is. God, do a great work. Now, think about this. Is there anything in your life that's unexplainable? That you can point to and say, God did that. God showed up in that. You know, do you have any moments like that? You know, I think personally, I think, why would God give me 3 adult kids that are walking with Jesus? And I'm thinking, wow, I mean, they really love Jesus, it seems. And I'm thankful for that, you know. But it's nothing I've done. God did that. You know, I think to get to be one of your pastors, and I promise I'm not flattering in any way, but it's like, what a privilege to get to be part of such a special multi-generational church. And I believe all your staff would say the same thing. You know, God does that. You know, I think personally of our finances, you know, from a perspective, it's like God's just really blessed our finances over the years. He's given us cars to drive, electricity in our house. You know, God gives us so much that we take for granted, that I take for granted. But those, only God can do that moments. Do we have this? Surely God was fighting for Israel, and surely God will fight for us. But sometimes we'll pray and God doesn't answer. You know, sometimes the sun does go down. But keep praying. He'll sustain you. I've got a 4-year-old grandson. His name's Daniel. He says, patience is power. That's pretty good for a 4-year-old, huh? He didn't get it from me. But you know, when you think of that, patience gives us power. And wait. You know, if you're waiting for God to do something, you know, keep praying those prayers. They're bold prayers. And God wants us to keep going because those prayers will sustain us. So, the application to all this. As we think about praying boldly with faith, there's 4 headers in this application that I want us to just think about and reflect on as we go into this time of invitation. In Luke, it says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. With God, nothing will be impossible. So identify an impossible situation that you believe needs to be changed in your life. You know, it might be a broken relationship that you've been trying to mend for years. It might be a wayward child. It might be a parent that you haven't been able to connect with for years. It might be a financial need. It might be emotional healing. Reflect identify that need and give it to the Lord. And then secondly, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Express your confidence that God's in control. He will move on our behalf. And then two more thoughts to this. In Psalm 37, it says, "Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, enjoy safe pasture, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this." Verbalize your trust in God's goodness and in God's timing. And then one more, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the answer. Thank God for the answer. Praying bold prayers, having a bold faith, and never forget it's God that's fighting for us as we seek to have this bold faith. Have that different spirit that will get us through. Let's pray. Lord, as we think of this lesson you've given us, where the sun stood still, where you used nature, hailstones, to do a great work in defeating the enemy, I would pray, Lord, that each of us here this morning would examine ourselves now and realize that the promise still stands, and that this attitude of a different spirit is an attitude that you want for all of us. So I pray, God, as we have this time of invitation, as we reflect, I pray, God, that we be people who, as a result of this, pray bolder prayers, yield to you, Lord, and keep our eyes on the Son, S-O-N. So, God, as we have this time of invitation, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, we're going to be led in a song, and I ask those that are prayer partners, if you would, just please join us here at the front. If you would like someone to pray with you, if you'd like to get around this altar, whatever your need is, you come as we sing this morning. Please stand.